Schiffman. I am an adult services librarian here at Northville District Library, and I'm really happy to introduce you to one of our first in-person programs since the pandemic. And I'm really pleased to welcome you to our program for Family History Month, the search to preserve the history of my Armenian family and author's exploration. I had the impression before this evening started, and it's been confirmed, that I don't really need to introduce Ariana Kabodian to most of you, so I'll just tell you how we met her and how happy we were to meet her. She contacted us last summer to tell us about her new book, Forget Me Not, Armenian Genocide Recollections, which she wrote to preserve her family's history and spread awareness about the Armenian genocide. We're always very happy to meet local authors here at the library, and since 2020, we have been maintaining a local author collection, which if you come to the library, you can find over by the fireplace in that far corner. The collection itself grew out of our local author fair, which we held around the end of February 2020. I think it was the last big event here at the library before COVID. And we had some 20 authors, and we had almost 100 visitors, and it was held here in this room. So we are hoping that we'll be able to hold another local author fair in 2022. If you are an author, you know local authors, even self-published, particularly from this immediate area, but we'll talk to anybody from the Southeast Michigan area, and we've even had some former Northville residents who now live other places participate in the local author fair. So they can always contact me, Betty Schiffman, to find out more about the author fair, and we'll definitely be contacting Ariana once we have a date, see if she wants to come to the fair and promote her books. I'll now just turn things over to Ariana, who's an MBA candidate at the Mike Ilitch School of Business at Wayne State University. She mentioned to me that she's currently taking a marketing course, and based on her successful efforts at promoting this evening's program, I think you'll agree she should do very well. So.
Thank you.
Would you like the lights off for the PowerPoint?
Well, I
want to
read my notes.
Oh, okay, so we'll leave them on.
Yeah, thank you.
We love you, Ariana.
Love you, too. Well, hi, everyone. My name is Ariana Kabodian, and I'm here today to speak to you about my book, Forget Me Not, Armenian Genocide Recollections, which contains 20 of my ancestors' experiences of how they survived and persevered during the Armenian Genocide and Istanbul Pogrom. I'll also discuss how this book ties in with Family History Month, in addition to speaking to you all about Armenian history and my family's history. Thank you all for being here today, and a very special thank you to the Northville District Library for inviting me to present. It means a lot that I'm able to share all of this with you. Ever since I was young, reading has always been a hobby of mine, and growing up in Novi, my family and I spent countless occasions visiting the Northville District Library. My family can attest that even today, I'm still seen carrying around either a book or my sketchbook, drawing and reading during any free time that I can get, just like when I was young. So to be presenting my book about my Armenian family history at the Northville District Library, where as a child I enthusiastically participated in Battle of the Books, is beyond anything I could have imagined, and is definitely a full circle moment for me that I will always remember. I would also like to thank Schuller Books and Chapbook Press, my publisher Pierre Camry, the Paros Foundation and their director Peter Bajian, the Detroit Free Press, Phoebe Wall Howard, and reporter Noor Rahel. Today's presentation will consist of following me on a journey, learning about my inspiration to write my book, in addition to discussing the history of Armenia, the Republic of Artsakh, and my Armenian family's history. Here is just a brief overview. So, looking back on my life thus far, the inspiration to write this book came from many parallel events. The inspiration to publish a book came from my dad's authorship of his book, The Customer's Always Right. Even though I was young when this was published, hearing him talk about it as I grew up, meeting people who read the book, and knowing how he enjoyed the writing and publishing process, inspired me to one day possibly want to write one myself. Knowing that he wrote a book while working full-time and having a family helped me realize that writing a book can be accomplished at any time as long as you take the time to do it. Inspiration to write a book came from my experience at Mercy High School. Their English department is where I developed a love for writing because my classes channeled me creatively and articulately in ways that prepared me for undergrad and graduate school. The inspiration to give back came from both my high school and college experiences. This is because in order to graduate from Mercy High School, you have to have community service hours, and they're required. And during my college experience at Aquinas College, I majored in sustainable business, where I learned about the importance of cohesively incorporating social value through education and awareness. Both of these experiences helped me establish the purpose of giving back and how important it is to help others. The ability to effectively multitask resonates from being a student athlete in college, which instilled a sense of organization and motivation that I still carry with me today. So when I began to write my book in August of last year, working full-time, in addition to going to grad school part-time, the sense of organization and perseverance became very useful during this time when the stay-at-home order was in effect, and because of this, I was motivated to make the use of every day. So as I grew up, I became interested in books and movies about the Holocaust due to its unfortunate similarities it had between that and the Armenian Genocide. And because the Armenian Genocide is not well known, I found myself yearning for a connection to understand what happened. For example, the movie, The Woman in Gold, is based on a true story about Maria Altman's experience to get back her family's art that was taken during the Holocaust. This resonates with me personally because my great-grandmother, Melanie, her family had an entire art collection that was taken during the Armenian Genocide, never to be recovered. Another example, The Boy in Striped Pajamas, is about the connection of two boys during the Holocaust, which made me think about my ancestors and how they survived the Armenian Genocide when they were very young, and most importantly, what that must have been like. The movie The Promise is about the Armenian Genocide, and without spoiling the ending, some characters at some time reside in Watertown, Massachusetts. Ironically, this is where my great-grandmother Melanie and my aunts immigrated to after the Istanbul pogrom. And my aunts have stayed in the surrounding Boston area with their families, and I love visiting them there, and it has since become a second home to me. Looking back at all these parallel events, novels, and films led me to last July, when my sister, who's here today, gave me a book to read called The Tattooist of Auschwitz, which is a mostly true story about how two people meeting and falling in love in a concentration camp during the Holocaust. I read the book in an afternoon, and their experience stayed with me afterwards because it made me realize how important it is to preserve one's family history. It was then that I realized that my family's experience could be and should be preserved as well. From that instilled me a journey to begin to document my ancestors' experiences during the Armenian Genocide and Istanbul program, thus my book. So I presented the idea to my parents about how I wanted to write this book, initially just for our family, to preserve our history so that current and future generations had something to hold on to our past. My dad recommended me to reach out to his brother, my uncle, who had recently worked with Schuller Books and was very familiar with their publication process through his recent book of poems. I spoke to my uncle about my idea, in addition to asking him about publication advice, because I knew nothing about it. After our conversation, I eagerly spent the next 7 hours developing the title, cover, and outline of my book. Needless to say, I don't think I slept much that night. My first interview took place a couple weeks after with my grandma Sally, who is here today, where we discussed about the Armenian Genocide and our family's history. I was not sure where the journey of this book would take me, but I knew I wanted to help preserve as many stories within our family as possible. By the end of August, I had signed my contract with Schuller Books, began working with the best publisher ever, Pierre Camry, and had multiple family interviews lined up. So now that you know a little bit about me and the inspiration to write my book, I'd like to share with you some facts and history about Armenia. Geographically speaking, Armenia is near the Mediterranean Sea in West Asia, where about 3 million people reside. Some traditional Armenian food include choreg, which is a type of challah bread, wrapped grape leaves, which we call spinach or sarma, and spinach boregs, which is also known as a spanakopita. I enjoy keeping these traditions alive through cooking with my family and sharing food with others. Armenia was the first nation to declare Christianity as its official religion in 301 AD and is known for many beautiful ancient churches, such as the Etchmiadzin Cathedral. And also pictured here is the Armenian Genocide Memorial. So, in regards to history in general, moments rarely appear out of nowhere. Because of this, it is imperative to understand the background of what happened in order to make sure it doesn't happen again. So here's a brief overview of events affecting Armenia, beginning with the Hamidian Massacres, also known as the Armenian Massacres, which occurred from 1894 to 1896, where the Ottoman Empire killed 300,000 Armenians. This is also a foreshadowing event of the Armenian Genocide. The Armenian Genocide began in 1915 and lasted until 1923, during which about 1.5 million Armenians were killed. During this time, the Ottoman Empire's objective was to annihilate Armenians, whom were then sent on death marches into the desert and lived in concentration camps. The Ottoman Empire, present-day Turkey, denies that the Armenian Genocide occurred, which is why this is also known as the Forgotten Genocide. Many years later, the Istanbul pogrom occurred on September 6, 1955, when Turkey began to attack Armenians. Hundreds were attacked, robbed, and killed, and many Orthodox churches were burned and destroyed. According to an International Journal of Genocide Studies and Prevention, there is no official report in Turkey that this event occurred. Most recently, however, in 2020, Armenia experienced a present-day ethnic cleansing in Azerbaijan and Turkey over an Armenian-inhabited region known as the Republic of Artsakh. There has been a long history of conflict regarding this land, but at the time, however, this land was governed and inhabited by Armenians. After months of battle over the region, on November 11th, the Prime Minister of Armenia and the President of Artsakh signed over to Azerbaijan to afford further destruction after Turkey and Azerbaijan took control of Sirsi. Whoops. There you go. Little surprise. After it took over Sirsi, one of the largest cities in Artsakh. About 70,000 Armenians were displaced, and about 3,000 Armenian soldiers were killed. Azerbaijan and Turkey have since taken over this region, which they refer to as Nagorno-Karabakh. This was a pivotal moment in history because many similarities between what transpired in 2020 and compared to the 1915 genocide. Both involved forcibly removing Armenians from their homeland, in addition to Turkey halting military aid and denying allegations. So now that I have discussed Armenia's historical events, I will now focus on the research process, in addition to scholarly sources that I used outside of family interviews. I conducted about 30 interviews with my family members, either over the phone or in person. I'm a fast typist, and therefore was able to take meticulous notes as they spoke, in addition to recording a couple approved conversations. I also wanted to focus on making sure that the book's contents were factually correct, and therefore providing the reader with facts derived from credible sources. Everything was fact-checked, from birth certificates to obituaries, circling maps from various ancient databases to ensure that the information is accurate. I spent a significant amount of time researching scholarly journals and sources, including the Holocaust Encyclopedia, the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum, the Office of Nagorno-Karabakh Republic, the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, and the Institute of the Study of Human Rights. In addition, the Ellis Island Foundation was also incredibly helpful. Many of my ancestors immigrated to the United States by arriving to Ellis Island, New York. Therefore, using their database, I was able to map and locate specific dates and boat information based on either their name or the year that they arrived, which became tedious but really worth it. Pictured here, courtesy of the Ellis Island Foundation, are four of the boats that my ancestors arrived on: the Constantinople, the La Terrine, the Gold Jinjimal, and the SS Rotterdam. I found this research very intriguing and felt connected to my ancestors as I was seeing their names appear on the database. As I was doing this, I could not help but to compare either the month or the date or either their date of birth or arrival date to dates that I had association with. Because of this, seeing their names on the database and knowing what they had gone through prior helped me realize the importance of also sharing their life after the genocide. Therefore, I made sure that each story within my book portrayed perseverance, determination, and courage, while showing how my ancestors were able to make the most of their lives after such tragedy. I also wanted to incorporate this within the stories because I wanted to provide the reader a way to see the light at the end of the tunnel, especially during such unprecedented times. So I will now read two stories from my book, the story of my great-grandmother Melanie's life in honor of her and my grandma Susan, but also the story of Rose Abrahamian Meridian Shrinian in honor of her, but also my late Aunt Agnes, her sister. So here they are pictured. From left, it's my great-grandmother, my mother, little baby me, and my grandmother Susan. And then to the picture to your right, it is a newborn Dirjallian, who is my late Aunt Agnes' husband. My Aunt Agnes is in the middle, and then to the far right is Rose. So the first one I'm going to read is about my great-grandmother. Melanie Dilan Artar's life was shared by her daughters, Sushan Amerigian and Silva Markarian. Melanie was born in 1914 in Turkey to the parents of Imazjun Dilanian and Bahan Dilanian. They owned a company that provided the means of many occupations, including shoemakers, wool importers, clothing makers, and merchants. Bahan and Imazjun wanted many children so that they could carry on the family business, and therefore had seven children, with Melanie being the youngest. The family came from enormous wealth and lived on a 10-acre mansion that had an art gallery, a pool, a library, an apple orchard, and a water fountain in their courtyard. Her family lived a very happy life until the Armenian Genocide. Melanie was only a few months old when her father, grandfather, and her uncle, Gadabed Artar, were murdered by the Turkish soldiers. They also took the men's wealth, art, and money. Thankfully, Imazjun was independently wealthy, but was left to raise seven children on her own. Bahan's sister, Miriam, had no wealth and had to raise her five children, two of whom died during the genocide. Imazjun graciously took in Miriam and her three children, and they all lived together until Melanie was 18. Due to the constant threat Armenians faced as a result of the genocide, the family chose to remove the common Armenian last name signature of IAN from Dilanian, and changed their last name to Dilan in order to conceal their identity. Due to the killings, Imazjun and Miriam were desperate to keep the next generation in their family Armenian. Unfortunately, they had no other option but to arrange for their children to marry. In 1932, at the age of 18, Melanie married her cousin, Mesia Artar, in Turkey. They had three daughters, Sushan the eldest, who was born in 1934, Silva, born in 1936. Mesia was an electrician and a mechanic, and Melanie was an excellent Armenian cook, and together they raised their daughters. Mesia was so handy that in 1937, when a hurricane destroyed their home, he was able to rebuild it. A few years later, the family moved to Istanbul, where their youngest daughter, Sona, was born in 1949. I lost my spot. soon after, the Archer family decided it was time to immigrate to the United States for a safer life. Emma June first immigrated in 1957, where she went to Detroit, Michigan. Silva immigrated with her husband, Toro Smarkarian, to Boston, Massachusetts in 1962. Soon after, Sona followed Silva and joined her sister in Boston in 1964. Melanie eventually immigrated to Boston, and then her husband, Messia, followed soon after. Melanie and Messia were happily married for 49 years until Messia passed away in 1982. Many years later, Melanie peacefully passed away in Boston in 2005. She was one of the last living survivors of the Armenian Genocide, and she passed away at the age of 91. Her daughters remembered her as someone who loved deeply and enjoyed life. She was one of the nicest people and always had a smile on her face. I was lucky enough to know her until about the age of 11 or 12, and I can definitely attest that that is true. Her granddaughter, Belinda Kabodian, my mother, spoke fondly of her grandmother, who she called Mezmama, which means Armenian for grandmother. Every summer when Belinda was a child, she would stay with Mezmama in Boston. She loved being with her and watching her cook and bake Armenian dishes, and she was a loving influence in her life. So I will now read the story about Rose. Rose Abrahamian Marudian Shirinian's life was told by her niece, Barbara Derjalian Widener. Rose was born on November 11th in 1911 in Samsun, Turkey, on the Black Sea's coast, in the Mediterranean. Wow, sorry. Her father, Surigin, owned a barber shop and was a young widow because his wife passed away when Rose was very young. Surigin remarried to Artem in 1913 and raised Rose as her own. Together, they had two daughters, Mary and Alice. Artem was a school teacher who graduated from college and was very well respected in the community. However, in June of 1915, right before the Armenian Genocide began, the Turkish soldiers came into Samsun to gather all of the Armenian men to enlist in the Turkish army. Her mother and father were informed that if they converted to Islam, they would be spared. However, because they were devout Christian Armenians, they would not consider changing their religion. The last time Rose saw her father was when he was being taken by the Turkish soldiers and was killed. Afterwards, her mother, Artem, was suddenly left alone to take care of three girls at the beginning of the genocide. For her daughters to survive, she temporarily gave her children to live with three different Grecian families. Rose's six-month-old sister, Mary, went to live with the Grecian family on a farm, and Rose and her two-year-old sister, Alice, went to separate Grecian families. These families took great care of the girls and were very kind people, and when Artem could, she would visit them. Soon afterwards, however, the Samsun town caller announced that they would hang anyone hiding Armenians. Upon hearing this, her mother gathered her three daughters out of fear that the Grecian families would be killed. A Grecian man helped them get to a safe government building, where there the mayor of Samsun spared them because they were women and children. They then had to live in the church's basement for a couple of years because the Turkish soldiers took over their home. The living conditions were very poor. They were constantly sick because of the freezing basement temperature, and they also had lice, sores, and were very dirty and had limited amounts of clothing and food. Every night, they would fall asleep to the noise of bombings in the distance. Unfortunately, this is something that Rose carried with her throughout the rest of her life. She could never forget the sounds of the Armenian Genocide. Through the American Red Cross, Artem was able to get in contact with her sister, Aznavi, and her brother-in-law, Moses, who lived in the United States, and offered their monetary assistance so they could immigrate there. Artem and her daughters then traveled to Karasamba, Turkey, where they stayed for a couple of months. In 1920, they boarded onto a ship, the Galjin Jamal, and set sail. However, while they were in the Atlantic Ocean, many people got sick and died, and it was a very frightening ordeal. When Rose was 8, Alice was 5, and Mary was 4 years old, they arrived to Ellis Island, New York, on October 31st, 1920. Aznavi and Moses greeted Artem and her girls and brought them to her house in Portland, Maine, where they lived for a few years. Rose recalled loving her time in Portland. She was very, very thankful that she was never afraid or hungry. A couple of years later in Portland, Artem was set up with Pylos Meridian. They fell in love and got married in 1922 in Maine and had two children, Stephen and my Aunt Agnes. When Rose was 20, she met and married Hess Sherinian in Portland before moving together to Detroit, Michigan. Ironically, Rose and Hess knew each other when they were young. Hess would go to the American Red Cross for soup and bring it to her family when they lived in the church's basement. Rose and Hess settled in Detroit, Michigan, and had two children, Donald and Robert. Artem and Pylos were very happy and lived happily together for the rest of their lives until they both died in their 80s. So earlier I mentioned that the book was originally meant for just my family. I also mentioned the importance of being educated through historical events. So through awareness and action, history doesn't repeat itself. As I was writing my book, I was seeing what was happening in Artsakh, but most importantly, seeing how many people did not know what was happening. This made me realize that my book could provide an educational path for spreading awareness about what happened and what is currently happening in Armenia. I recognized that as an Armenian, it was my job to use my voice, to use this book as an opportunity. It is because of this that I made the decision to make my book publicly available and to have the proceeds donated to help children in Armenia. The significance of the forget-me-not flower ties into the concept of the book being written to preserve my family's history so their experience, survival, and perseverance would be remembered. In addition, since the Armenian genocide has been referred to as the forgotten genocide, due to Turkey denying responsibility, the official symbol of the Armenian genocide is the forget-me-not flower. So education through acknowledgement complement one another throughout my book, specifically because most recently in 2018, the United States Congress officially recognized that Armenian history and the Armenian genocide should be included in history courses throughout the United States. In addition, on the official recognized day of remembrance of the Armenian genocide, which is April 24th, President Biden became the first United States president to officially declare the Armenian genocide as an official genocide. Because of these recent historical events, helping to promote Armenian history within high schools and universities has since become a passion of mine. I worked with my aunt, who is a teacher, to create a Teachers Pay Teachers lesson plan, including the appropriate teaching standards centered around my book, Armenian Genocide Awareness, in addition to the topic of exploring one's family history. This is because I wanted the lesson plan to help provide students with the ability to learn about my family's history as well as their own. I also wanted to help Armenians, which is why through my partnership with the Paros Foundation, the proceeds from my book and the Teachers Pay Teachers lesson plan are being donated to help children at the Debi Arach Children's Center in Armenia with winter boots for the upcoming winter. The Debi Arach Children's Center, which in Armenian means moving forward, helps provide children with the support and guidance that they need to succeed in life. The center provides about 200 children with opportunities to receive homework help, tutoring, classes, and also provides them with meals. Knowing that the proceeds are going to help provide 200 children in Armenia with winter boots is another full circle moment that means so much to me. This is because in the book, there are a few of my ancestors who survived the Armenian genocide without wearing shoes. I was also recently encouraged to connect to the Women's Guild at my church, St. John's Armenian Church, through my mom and my aunt. The women at the Women's Guild were so willing to help that they graciously made donations to help provide these children with hats, scarves, and gloves for the upcoming winter as well. People have told me that my book's success means that I'll be remembered. I appreciate hearing that, however, that's not why I wrote the book. I wrote the book to preserve history, to help provide education through my work, but most importantly, to help make a positive difference. I hope my presentation and experience help inspire you to look through your own family history. This experience connected me to those that I had the privilege of knowing even more, in addition to being connected to those in the book that unfortunately did not get the chance to meet. This experience has helped me realize a greater purpose for myself. I've always been grateful and thankful for my upbringing, but this experience has helped me realize that my life is never just about my life. It's about my life and the ability of what I can do with my life to help others. It is necessary to acknowledge ourselves on our historical past, to learn and grow in constructive ways. Doing so through education, awareness, and unity can help create positive opportunities so that we will never forget those who sacrificed so much and persevered for us to be here. Thank you.